Hey, it's Dave, and you know I'm not a fan of pre-rolls, so the fact that I'm doing one, you know this is important, and it's time-sensitive, because March 21st at 5:30 Eastern, myself and my favorite book guru, Thomas Umstadt Jr., are doing a webinar on book launch secrets. And if you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/booklaunch, you'll learn more about it. But I just wanted to get this in here, because that's right around the corner. Again, schoolofpodcasting.com/booklaunch. Today on the podcast review show, Eric and I take a look at the Ask Ralph podcast.
Welcome to the podcast review show, hosted by radio veteran Eric K. Johnson from podcasttalentcoach.com and Hall of Fame podcaster Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting. Dave and Eric help you identify those things you are doing right so you can do more of those and lose those things that don't deliver value to your audience. Join in on the conversation at podcastreviewshow.com.
Welcome to the Podcast Review Show. I'm your host, Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting.com. And if you're new to the show, this is where we bring a person on and we let them know what they're doing right. And then maybe those things that need just a tad bit of polishing. And to help me do this is the one and only podcast talent coach himself, Mr. Eric K. Johnson. Eric, how's it going, buddy?
Dave, it's great to see you. Glad to be back with another exciting episode of the podcast review show. It's been a while since we dusted off the chair and invited somebody in. And today, very excited to have Ralph Estep on the podcast today. Ralph, great to see you. Thanks for being here.
Oh, great. Thank you. I appreciate the time.
So what inspired you to start the podcast?
I guess the main inspiration for me was looking for a way to give back. So I feel like I've been very blessed in my business here as an accountant. My full-time job is being an accountant. And I felt like there was an opportunity for me to sort of give back to people who maybe couldn't afford to come in and sit down with me and pay for a consultation, that sort of thing. So that's what really inspired me to do the podcast. It's also something I love, technology. So it's a cool way to experiment with technology, and I've got to meet a lot of cool people doing it. So I guess if I had to encapsulate it, I kind of feel like this is my mission field now. So that's, I guess that's my answer, Dave.
Got it. And then who is this for?
Well, that's a difficult question, because I truly believe, yeah, I know you have to laugh when I say it that way, because I don't know the answer to that question. And maybe you guys can help me with that. But I think it's for multiple audiences. And let me say where I'm going with that. I think it's for small business owners. A lot of the content I have on there is directed at small business owners. A lot of it's, you know, for people looking to how to handle their taxes better. It's a lot of that content on there. There's a lot of technology issues. There's a lot of motivational things. So I'm going to say pie in the sky. It's for everybody. But I don't know that that's necessarily the best thing from a podcast audience perspective.
On the form that you sent us to be on the show, you mentioned a little bit about that you had the show back in 2017, 2018, 2019. And at that time was really designed to grow the accounting firm and to bring more people into your business. And now with the relaunch here in late 23, it's more kind of a mission-driven podcast where you're out to help people. And even though you're setting out to help everybody, I think the podcast content becomes more powerful when it's focused on a single ideal individual. So even if it is to help that small business owner be more profitable, generate more revenue in their business, and you're doing it from a heart-centered approach, I still think it will be more effective, and it will help everybody. If you're giving tax advice to that small business owner, and you're giving budgeting advice to that small business owner, and you're giving accounting advice to that small business owner, those things, tax and budgeting, could still appeal to someone who's not a business owner, but it will be perfect for the business owner. So if you try and be watered down and be for everybody, you're not going to hit anybody perfectly. Nobody's going to say, man, this show's exactly what I've been looking for, because you're trying to be for everybody. But if you're for a particular target, like a small business owner, the small business owner says, this show's perfect for me, where everybody else says, it's good and I can use some of the information.
Yeah, and that's kind of the dichotomy of my practice too, Eric, to be honest. I have sort of three distinct practices within one. I've got the small business owners that we do a lot of work for. I've got the people that I see once a year to help them with their taxes. And then I've developed a whole new following of people that I'm doing financial counseling and coaching with. So I agree with you. And that makes perfect sense.
And the 80-20 rule probably kicks in with that too. 80% of your revenue probably generated from 20% of your clients who are those successful small business owners that are paying you on a retainer basis to bring you in and help them with their finances on a regular basis. Am I right?
Absolutely true. Yes, I would tend to agree with that. You know, and it's different seasons of the year as well. Like right now, I'm in the midst of tax time where we're doing a ton of, you know, and it's just me. It's just myself and, you know, one support staff person. And that's because I look at things like building relationships. And I guess the truth is my podcast is sort of along the same lines. And that's why I named it Ask Ralph. I looked at it as a way to like, let's build a relationship so that, oh, you know what? Let me ask Ralph. Oh, Ralph would know the answer to that. Let me ask Ralph. So getting back to what we were talking about a moment ago, I guess my target audience is the person who wants to ask Ralph that question that they don't have an outlet to, you know, they don't want to go to Google and Google, you know, because they're going to get a whole mix of all kinds of different answers to that. So I view myself as being, you know, the person they go to. And, you know, it's funny because we use QuickBooks Online for a lot of our clients, and we actually set up an account in their chart of accounts called Ask Ralph Questions. So it's kind of taken on its own moniker, if you will. But anyway, I didn't want to take over the whole show talking about that. But that's kind of the goal is, you know, where's that ask graph? But you're right. 80% to 80-20, absolutely true.
I think if you focus on that 20% that drive 80% of your revenue, it'll still appeal to those that are looking for financial advice, that one time a year tax preparation, that investment, get back on their feet, sort of Dave Ramsey approach as well. Even though you're specifically targeting those people that drive the business. So I love the concept of the show. I love Ask Ralph and the whole strategy that you have behind it.
Yeah, to kind of piggyback on what Eric said, I had an experience where 11 of my family, we all met up and we went for pizza. My niece and my aunt had the best pizza ever because they love kitchen sink pizza. They throw everything on it. My brother and I like pepperoni pizza, but he likes his with extra cheese. So was mine good? Yeah, but it wasn't exactly what I wanted. And so when you have people like, well, I normally get this and this, but I don't want onions. And that person like, all right, well, that's fine. I don't need onions. So they're not getting really what they want. And you want that person's like, oh, this is the best pizza ever. And so like Eric was saying, if it's small business, that's, you know, butter in your bread, then do it for them. That way they're like, oh, this is exactly the show I was looking for. And sure, you know, the single person might then establish you that you're a tax expert. And you can always say at the end, hey, I work with individuals as well as businesses. If you need help with this, you know, and maybe if they actually send in a question, then you could say, well, this is what somebody's asking for. But when you try to be everything to everyone, you end up with a lot of people like, pizza wasn't bad, but it wasn't their favorite pizza. And we want to be their favorite podcast. Like, this is the guy who knows exactly what I'm going through.
And that's one of the reasons with doing a daily podcast, I've sort of set up a theme for each day. And I know I've shared this with some folks at the School of Podcasting, you know, for example, like Monday is my motivational day. Tuesday's a technology day. Wednesday, we kind of have like a kickback and laugh about stuff. Thursday's a tax day. Friday's personal finance. Saturday, I like to do more long form interviews, which kind of tie things in together. Like I just released one today with a constitutional expert, and we talked about why it's so important to understand your rights. And then my Christian faith comes out on Sunday when I do more of an inspirational talk. But I'm going to definitely take that into advice and think about how I can focus, you know, the microscope a little bit more on the small business people. So thank you guys.
And I'd love to hear Eric's thought on that, because my only experience where an establishment changes formats every day is bars back when I played in music, and it typically didn't work. So what are your thoughts on the, you know, the format he just mentioned where, you know, Wacky Wednesday and Tax Thursday and things like that?
Well, his topic in the niche stays the same every day. We're still talking about his zone of genius. It's just a different theme every day. And I like that it's the same. Like every Monday's the same. Every Wednesday's the same. So it's not like today we spin the wheel of formats and today we're a polka station. Oh, today we're hard rock station. Like we're not doing wheel of formats. It's a theme. And a lot of radio shows do that. You know, they do today it's a Relationship Thursday, or today it's Food News Monday or something. In radio, we always talked about benchmarks, and benchmarks are the things that happen at the same time on the show. So people know, you know, if I'm at the light at First in Maine, by the time the wacky game comes on, I know I'm on time, and they set their clocks to it because it's a benchmark. There are benchmarks that happen the same time every day on a show, and then there are benchmarks that happen the same day every week. So it's a weekly benchmark. So Friday, you might have the Friday mix to kick off the weekend, but it only happens on Friday. So I don't have a big issue. I actually like that there are themes. I do that with my email. I have 6 themes in my email, and my 7th day is the promote the podcast. Then I go through those. I'm talking about content one day, talking about relationships another day. I'm talking about coaching another day. I'm talking about process and money making. And so I go through the same deal with my email, but it's all talking about how to use your podcast to grow your business. So,
and Eric, that is exactly my intention, because I'm also an author. I've written 2 books. And so one of the things that people had said to me in my practice, you know, that's great, you talk about tax, Ralph, but I don't want to hear about tax every day. But I'd love to hear about, what do you think about some new technology that affects my business? You know, can you kick back some, Ralph? You're too serious. And that's why I did the Wacky Wednesday. And the Motivational Monday is, you know, people get stuck in the everyday in their business. And so that's why I did that. So thank you, Eric. I appreciate those kind comments.
The themes are generic enough where if you have something that doesn't necessarily fit into, you know, Technology Tuesday, well, now I got to find something that's tech. Where if it's Wacky Wednesday, I could pretty much put anything in there and make it wacky.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a show a couple of weeks ago where I actually came up with a bunch of crazy side gigs that people are doing. And it was one of my most well-listened to episodes.
Nice.
You know, I added some sound effects in it, you know, for an accountant, that, you know, what they say, we're engineers without personalities. So I added some sound effects in it, which really made it interesting. And people said, oh, I love the Wacky Wednesday because I never know what new sound effect Ralph's going to drop.
Nice. And then the other question we always ask is, how are you going to measure your success?
Okay, so I'm going to give you my heartfelt answer.
All right.
My original answer, I was going to measure success by the number of downloads and the number of traffic and people that came and listened to the podcast. And I quickly learned, having relaunched this, that that's probably not the best way to measure that. So a good friend of mine who has become a good friend of mine through the school of podcasting, Craig, basically said something to me, which has, and I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, it really changed my perspective on that. If I can affect one person, if I can help one person get through their day and make it better, if I can find one business that can benefit from the things I've said, then I feel like I've measured, I feel like I'm doing a good job. If I can send 100 downloads, 50 downloads, that means there's 50 people that are sitting in front of me listening to what I have to say. And if I can help a couple of them, then my measurement is good job, Ralph. You know, well done, good and faithful servant.
Got it. Because I know in the form you filled out, you said one of the goals is to establish your credibility in the public space. And I think you and I had talked about maybe you wouldn't mind getting like a couple speaking gigs.
Absolutely. I'd love to do that. You know, my long-term goal is to be an authority. You know, somebody that, again, it goes back to that whole moniker, Ask Ralph. You know, I could see myself being on a news show and say, well, let's ask Ralph what his opinion is. So absolutely, that is an intermediate to long-term goal. Absolutely, Dave.
Got it. Okay. Because there are things you can do if that's the goal. You know, I've had people that would like to do speaking gigs, but they never mention to their audience that they're available for speaking. And so they don't get any speaking gigs because nobody knows you do speaking gigs. So that's why I asked that question.
Yeah, and I took your advice on that, actually, and I'm going to build that into some of the episode scripts that I'm using. You know, and I talk about my book, because I look at my book as sort of a speaking gig.
Yeah.
You know, my book is a way to impact people. Like my first book I wrote was called, you know, Mastering Your Finances. You know, it's 47 pages, but it's something that if you have no concept of how to fix your finances, you can grab this book and it will change your dynamic overnight.
This is, I believe, the first 2 minutes. So this is about the time... Eric, what would you say? What, how much time do people have to really grab somebody's attention before people tune on? Is there like a radio spec that I'm not aware of or something? Or
actually, it's getting shorter and shorter and shorter. In radio, we talk about lead with the hook. Like you got to hook them right away because they're instantly looking for something more exciting to listen to. With a podcast, you have a little longer. I saw a study done at Podcast Movement They said you have about 90 seconds to catch their attention and make them interested in the rest of the episode before they punch out and go look for something else. They'll decide in the first 90 seconds if they're going to stick with the entire episode. So you have to lead with your best stuff right out of the box. Tell them what's in it for them. Give them the benefit and roll into it.
Excellent. All right. Well, here's the intro. Picture this. You have dreams and aspirations for your business and personal finances. Yet that nagging fear of failure holds you back from taking the necessary risks to achieve greatness. Does this sound familiar? Well, fear no more, because today's episode is all about overcoming that fear and unlocking the next level of success. So get comfortable, grab a pen and paper, and let's dive deep into the art of overcoming fear of failure in business and finance. Welcome, my friends, to another insightful episode of the Ask Ralph podcast, your go-to source for mastering your finances, lowering your taxes, growing your business, and finding personal success. I'm your host, Ralph Estep Jr., and today we have an extraordinary topic to discuss. Are you ready to conquer your fear of failure and embrace the power of taking risks in your business and finances? Well, hold on tight, because we're about to embark on a journey of self-discovery and growth. Trust me, you don't want to miss this.
Welcome to the Ask Ralph podcast, where listening to an experienced financial professional can help you make sense of confusing questions, current headlines, and industry trends about taxes, small business, financial decision-making, investment strategies, and even the art of proper budgeting, as Ralph makes the complex simple by sharing his real-world knowledge with all things financial. Now here's your host, Ralph Estep Jr.
Let's start by understanding why fear of failure often becomes such a formidable obstacle in our lives. The truth is, failure has been branded as something negative, something we should avoid at all cost. What if I told you that failure is not the end, but merely a stepping stone towards success? It's time to reimagine our relationship with failure and view it as a catalyst for growth and improvement. Are you ready to transform your perspective? Well, let's discuss some concrete steps that you can put into action right away. All right. So that's 2 minutes in. Thought the audio sounded great. You got decent energy going on. The one thing I noticed is at 19 seconds, you introduced the topic and then you basically brought yourself in. The voiceover came in somewhere in there, basically 19 seconds at 54 seconds. You almost said the exact same thing. Like today, we're talking about overcoming your fear. So there was a little bit of a duplicate thing. And I was kind of like,
yeah. And I've actually changed the format of that, Dave, since you and I've been talking a little bit. So I've kind of moved away from that whole talking before the intro plays, because I agree with you. I felt like that was redundant when I went back and listened to it over again. So now when I'm doing my episodes, I just start right with the professional, like the music over talk, and then get right to it.
Well, I like letting the audience know. Some guy named Eric K. Johnson has a great quote that I say all the time, and that is, nobody gets on the bus without knowing where it's going. So I love the fact you're like, hey, today we're talking about overcoming fear, et cetera, and then let the intro come in, and then you don't have to re-intro. Just start talking about overcoming fear. Like, hey, welcome to the show. You know, when it comes to overcoming, and just go. I don't know. Eric, did you have any other thoughts on the intro?
To me, the intro felt like three parts. It felt like you giving me the value of what's coming up in the episode, which I loved. And then you go into, welcome to the show. This is where we do all of what we do, part of you again. And then it goes into the pre-recorded professional intro. And I think the second part of that, where you go, here's what we're, welcome to the show, here's what the show's all about. I would love to see the recorded intro be moved up to that part, because I love the way you come in and you go, you know, picture this, here's where you are, here's the challenge, here's the struggle, this is what we're going to do for you today. I'm like, great, I'm all in. What's this show all about? Give me the pre-recorded intro right there where it says, hey, Ralph Estep Jr. helps you get over all of these challenges. Perfect. Now I'm in the right spot. I know I'm bought in. And then come back with you and go, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here today. Here's what we're going to do for you. And then do the formal setup of the show, kind of combining that second segment of you And then the first segment after the professional intro, combine those into one group and get me into the show.
So Eric, let me just make sure I understand what you're saying, because I think that's the change I made. But the only difference was you like the little bit of talk before I go into the professional intro, because I kind of dropped that all together and just did the professional intro, then that little bit of talk and jump right into it. But you kind of like the idea of a little bit of that before the professional intro.
Yeah. Dave, can we play just the beginning part of that again?
Yeah.
I'll show you right where I think it should come in.
Got it.
Picture this. You have dreams and aspirations for your business and personal finances, yet that nagging fear of failure holds you back from taking the necessary risks to achieve greatness. Does this sound familiar? Well, fear no more, because today's episode is all about overcoming that fear and unlocking the next level of success. So get comfortable, grab a pen and paper, and let's dive deep into the art of overcoming fear of failure in business and finance.
Now bring in her.
Gotcha.
I don't need you going, welcome to the show. Now here's what we're going to do again. And then she comes in and goes, welcome to the show. Here's what we're going to do. La, la, la.
It's very redundant, isn't it?
Yeah.
That part right there, I'm bought in, because yep, fear of failure, I'm there with you. That's my pain. That's what I want to overcome. You can help me. Good. I know this is my episode. So I know this episode is for me.
Yeah.
Is this show for me? She comes in and says, here's what we do on this podcast. And I go, perfect. I know the podcast is for me. Now I know the episode is for me. Now, Ralph, come tell me how you're going to help me solve it. And what I would do, it's just a little nuance, but you stop talking and you say, now let's get into it. And then the music comes in. And then she starts talking. I would duck that under you a little bit. So right as you're ending, that music starts coming in and you're like, now let's get rolling. And then she pops in with, hey, welcome to the show. By doing that, it adds some forward momentum to the show and it keeps the energy moving in the right direction. And the problem is people punch out when something ends. You know, we don't want to say that that's the end of this segment. Now let's get into this segment. Because people go, oh, well, there's the exit. I can get out now because that part's over. And so when you stop talking and then the music starts, you're done. Something else starts. And it's an exit. It's an exit opportunity where if the music's ducked under you, it just keeps on going and we never stop. We keep moving forward.
Perfect.
It's like a conveyor belt. You just keep moving.
Yeah. That was kind of my intention, but I was like, I found myself, because I use this script, and I found myself sort of catching a hold of the words at the music and all that sort of thing. But I think I understand what you're talking about. I think I can make that happen pretty easily.
Overall, though, I thought the intro was solid. I thought the way you've scripted her tells me what I get out of the podcast, how the podcast is going to make me better by the end of the episode. I like that.
And Eric, does that appeal to you?
Yes. I liked your intro at the beginning, that up to where I stopped you, because that tells me what's in it for me. How does this episode solve my problem? And then I loved her script, because her script tells me exactly what the podcast is all about, what I get every day out of this show and why I should come back again tomorrow for another episode of it. So all of that was great. And then come out of that with, let's dive into it. Here's what we're going to solve for you today. Here's how I'm going. Here's what makes this particular episode special.
Yeah. If I were to tweak anything, how long have you been doing this, Ralph?
When you asked that question, that's a loaded question, because okay. I started back again in November. I had taken a couple years off, but so back in 2017 is when I really started.
No, and I mean, how long have you been an accountant?
I've been an accountant since I was six.
Okay.
I grew up in an accounting family. So yeah, I've been doing it forever. I'm so 51.
We're doing chores. Ralph's doing books.
I'm copying tax returns. And the dinner table conversation at my house was, hey, you'll never believe the itemized deductions this person had or the type of business they're running.
Well, the reason I ask, and this, again, you don't have to do this, but I always, if there's a way you can answer the question, why should I listen to this guy? If you said, you know, welcome our host. He's been an accountant since he was six. Like, whoa, wait a minute. That not everybody can say that. Or just, you know, he's been doing this for 30 years or something like that. You
don't have credibility.
Yeah. Anytime you can throw in some street cred, it's not a bad thing. And everybody hates to do that because you feel salesy and you're, you know, promoting yourself, but it helps answer that question. Well, how is this guy different than the other 10 podcasts about that? And
so you might change the voiceover you're saying and add that to her script.
Yeah, just something to say, you know, 30-year accountant veteran Ralph explains, but and then have her go through her laundry list. And it's just a really, you know, again, it's a minor change, but I was the only thing I could think of, because I'm with Eric. I thought it was strong, just a little redundant. And I thought the only, if I were going to change anything, I would add something to give you a hint of street cred. Not that you need it, but, you know, to the new listener.
I got a podcast review once that said, this guy just likes telling everybody he's been in radio for 30 years. And I go, well, yeah, because I have.
Yeah.
It's a true statement, right?
And you haven't. So let's move on with the show.
And then there were a couple spots. Well, I'm just going to play this and I'll explain what I'm looking for.
What if I told you that failure is not the end, but merely a stepping stone towards success? It's time to reimagine our relationship with failure and view it as a catalyst for growth and improvement.
And then there was another clip, and Eric picked on this, where...
Let's talk about step number 7. And this one is something that I see many entrepreneurs battle with. You need to trust your intuition.
And so what I'm waiting to hear and what Eric was waiting to hear was the phrase, like the time when I, there's no personal stories in this at all. And what it does, I mean, one of the things I think that people appreciate about Dave Ramsey, and he reminds you on a fairly regular basis that he went bankrupt and he lost it all, that gives you the, oh, that guy knows what it's like to be poor. So if you say anything about, you know, you need to, you know, failure is a part of life. When I was 17, I, you know, whatever it is, because we've all failed, right? And so when you share something, it's vulnerability. And when you, I need to come up with a new phrase for this, but I always say when you pull your pants down in front of people, they're more likely to pull their pants down in front of people. I need a new analogy. Help me, Eric. But it is, it's a level of like, well, if you're going to be vulnerable, if you're going to show your warts, okay, then I'm going to show mine. And then you kind of connect over warts. I really need new analogy.
And I'll give you a better analogy, actually, Dave, because you mentioned that to me in the shorter podcast review show you did. And what I've done is I've moved away from the transcript so much or the script so much. And I've really said, you go, Ralph, look in the mirror. You know, what can you share with your listeners that you've been through? Because the truth of the matter is, Dave, you're absolutely right. We've all been through that. So now what I find myself is when I give a list of things to talk about, I say, okay, when have I seen that? When has a client of mine seen that? When has someone else seen that? So I hear you loud and clear. So thank you for that feedback.
Yeah, it's the people, we all hear it. People want to do business with those they know, like, and trust. And the way that they get to know you and like you and trust you is by the stories that you tell on your show and the things that you reveal about yourself. The things we learn about you is how we get to know who you are and what makes you tick. And the stories that you tell on there reveal that sort of thing. So I'm always looking by the end of the episode, what did I learn about Ralph that I didn't know when the episode began? And there's just that little thing that you reveal somewhere along in a story. And the law of reciprocity kicks in. If I give you something, you feel compelled to give me something in return. And so if I'm trusting you with certain details of my life, and I'm sharing honestly and openly and authentically with you, you feel the same need to do that in return. It's like Saturdays when we're in the grocery store and the little old lady gives us a sample of sausage, and all of a sudden we find ourselves buying a pack of sausage that we had no intention of buying, but it's the law of reciprocity. She's given us something, we feel compelled to do something in return, so we buy the sausage. It's the same thing with the stories that you tell. If you want people to trust you, you need to trust them first with details about your life.
And you're now, right, Eric, because one other thing
with that, Ralph, I would do it two things. I would reveal some things about you so they get to know you, and then I would reveal a story about somebody else that you've helped so they see your authority and your expertise. Go ahead.
Yeah, what I was going to say is, it's interesting you say that, because what clients say to me all the time is, Ralph, I can relate with you. You don't talk over my head. You don't use big words. You know, you're a guy that drives a car like I drive. You know, you're a person I can relate with. So I, Eric, that is great information and great feedback. And I will definitely put, you know, one of the things Dave said to me a couple of weeks ago is I've lost Ralph. So I will tell you guys that since that point, Ralph has come back. Unfortunately, this particular episode, Ralph is a little bit still absent. He's got the red flag up a little bit, but Ralph has definitely come back now.
Yeah. And you had mentioned having your show scripted, and there are a couple quick samples here of where it kind of sounds, it's starting to be obvious that you're reading.
Embrace the idea that venturing into the unknown is essential for growth and progress.
It sounded to me like you got to the end and you're like, oh, there's two more words here, and progress. And I was like, well, that was kind of interesting. And then here's another quick one.
Consider the worst case scenario. What's the absolute worst thing that can happen? Oftentimes, you'll discover that the potential downsides are not as catastrophic as you initially feared.
And
consider the worst.
Okay, apparently I have this set to repeat. Eric, you had said something about the fact that he was ending all of his sentences.
Yeah, the inflection at each of the sentences here go up at the end of every sentence. And you do it occasionally through the episode, but this little string right here, there was about six of them that went up at the end. Every time you read a sentence, you would go up at the end. And I don't know why we were going up. And it just, and every time you went up a little higher and a little higher. Yeah. And I went back and I listened to the beginning of the show and you were down here. You were like, hey, I'm Ralph. And then by this time you're like, and I'm up here and I don't know how high I could go. And I'm going up at every end. I felt like you were going to explode like a cartoon.
I think I needed to take a breath. And one of the things I need to understand, Eric, is, and you know, sometimes I just need to stop for a second and I can always clean up that in the audio. But sometimes I feel like I've got to make a point and I just keep on pushing until my voice is gone when I really could take a breath. And part of that too is the script more. And that's why I've sort of moved away from that some.
Well, the challenge is when we're working off of a script, it takes a lot of practice to make a script sound natural. And the challenge is nobody wants anybody to read them a story. They want somebody to tell them a story. And when you're reading it from the sheet, it feels like you're reading me the story rather than telling it to me. And I want you to use the script as a crutch and not as the wheelchair. I want it to help you get there. I don't want it to take you there.
And I'm definitely doing that in some of my newer episodes. I don't know if that's something Dave could play as part of this show, but we definitely have made a change in that.
Yeah.
Good deal.
I do have the clip labeled Higher and Higher.
Surrounding yourself with like-minded individuals who understand and support your journey is invaluable. Seek out mentors, coaches, or fellow entrepreneurs who have been through similar experiences. Their guidance, wisdom, and sheer presence will help push you to overcome your fears and take those necessary risks.
So, and to kind of illustrate Eric's point, if we go back to the beginning now, where you started, you were way down here.
Picture this.
Yeah.
You have dreams and
not a huge deal, but it was just one of those like, where are you going to go?
It's a listenability question, right? So if people hear that, they're like, whoa, is Ralph filling his mind up with helium at this point? Or is he going to float away in the podcast? So I hear you guys loud and clear.
Yeah, yeah. And then the last clip I have here before we get to the ending is just called Recap.
All right, my friends, we've covered some solid ground today. By embracing the unknown, assessing risks and rewards, developing a growth mindset, building a supportive network, educating yourself, planning for contingencies, trusting your intuition, and ultimately believing in yourself.
And so that was, and Eric, you'd put in your notes that, oh, this is a recap. I just didn't know it was a recap.
Yeah, I didn't realize those were the steps we had covered until I listened to the episode a second time. And I got to that point and I was like, oh, wait a minute. These are all the steps that Ralph just talked about. I didn't realize that we were going to recap all seven. I didn't realize that was the, here are the seven steps in bullet point fashion. Bang, 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 bang. And you walk through them. I didn't realize that. So you might just try and frame it. I love that there's a recap there. Yeah. I love that you make it easy for me. Like we've explained them all in depth. Now let me give them to you just in list order. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And that way I can go, oh yeah, yep, I remember. Just kind of reinforce it for me. So you might just put a signpost in front of that. You know, it doesn't have to necessarily be, all right, now let's run down these one by one. But, you know, just to run through the 7 steps again, they are X, Y, Z, and just run through them real quick, just to kind of give people a heads up that it's coming.
So you find value in that. You definitely feel like that's a good way to reinforce the message.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, I was so tied into number 6 that what was number 3 again? And then when you go through them, I go, oh yeah, that's right. Now it just reinforces it in my mind.
Yeah, I don't know that I would do it on everyone, because then you turn into the 12 days of Christmas. But like every third one, remember, number 1, this, number 2, this, number 3 is, and then you go into it, and then maybe number 4, number 5, and then number 6. Okay, so we had number 1, and you just kind of, if you really want them to remember the list, a little repeat, and then you just hit them all again at the end. Like I said, I don't know if I would do that with everyone. I've heard people do that, and by the time you get to number 7, you're like, yes, we know, number 1. But on the other hand, if that's what they're trying to do, but I could see where...
I would definitely do it at the end and recap all 7 when you're done. If you want to sprinkle it in once or twice in the middle of the list, yeah, that's personal preference. But definitely at the end, once you get through the 7, here they are. When I listen to Daniel J. Lewis, when he does one like this, he'll do it at the beginning. He'll say, here are the 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right, now let's dive into one each individually. Number 1, and then he does number 1. Then he goes through all number 2. And at the end, he goes, all right, again, the 7 were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
That's a good way. I like that. So, and like you said, personal preference. But yeah, I'm really worried about any strategy that, because then you do end up with the 12 days of Christmas and you're like, please quit telling me what you just told me. I was here. So I get that. It's like, I hate audiobooks where they go like, here's what we're going to talk about. And I'm like, I get it, it's a table of contents, but I'm like, let's just go to chapter 1 instead of telling me what you're going to tell me about in chapter 1. That drives me nuts.
Yeah, because I guess the truth is, person could always go back, like Eric said, and re-listen to it to try to figure out, like, what in the world is Ralph talking about now?
Yeah.
Yep. So,
all right, last we have the ending.
Now it's time for me to hear from you. Visit our podcast page at AskRalphPodcast.com and leave us a review or send us a message. Your thoughts and feedback guide us in bringing you the most relevant content. So don't hesitate to reach out and share your experiences or any topics you'd like us to cover in future episodes. Thank you for tuning in to the Ask Ralph podcast. Remember, stay financially savvy, my friends. Conquer your fears, take risks, and unlock the incredible potential that lies within you. Until next time, thank you for listening. God bless. And as I always say, stay financially savvy.
Thank you for joining us on the Ask Ralph podcast. And with a simple click to subscribe, we'll invite you back to our next episode. And remember, financial issues don't have to be complicated. Just ask Ralph. The information contained in this episode of Ask Ralph is based on data available as of the date of its release. Saggio Accounting Plus and Ask Ralph Media, Inc. is under no obligation to update this content if changes occur. Applying this information to your specific situation requires careful consideration of all facts and circumstances, and any information provided is not to be considered as financial, tax, or legal advice. Please consult your tax advisor or attorney before acting on any material covered.
Nothing better than a good disclaimer, which is good. I mean, as disclaimers go, the only thing I would say, and I don't know if I had this the first time, do you think the music is maybe this much too loud? I mean, I could hear, but I had to kind of...
Oh, I didn't notice.
I saw Eric dancing to it, so he must like it.
Yeah, maybe that's just me.
It did not distract me. There's a lot I love about this close here. You picked a great voice talent, because even the way she reads the disclaimer, she doesn't sound all stodgy and, you know, like disclaimers typically do.
Right.
She's very conversational. I love her read on it. In the pre-recorded close, I love that she says, go subscribe. Like, that's it. That's the call to action. Subscribe, which is perfect. In your call to action, I love that it was singular focused. Go to the podcast page. That's what you want them to do. The challenge that I have with your call to action is it's very generic. Like, leave us a review or just, shoot us a note. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what kind of note you want. What I might recommend you do, Ralph, is each time you make that call to action, give them a different thing to email you. You know, because you start with, now it's time for us to hear from you. And then you say, leave us a review. I don't know that, like, that's not really hearing from us. Where in your other part, you say, our content is shaped by you. What topics do you want to see me discuss? Right. So that's a very specific, that's what I want to hear from you. Like, email me which topics and challenges you have. So maybe each time on the episode, you have a different thing for them to reach out. If you're struggling with something in your small business, email me. Or if tax planning's around the corner, if you need tax preparation help, email me. Or if you have an idea of a topic you'd like covered on the show, email me. So then I know specifically what you're looking for. And I know when I open my email exactly what to send you.
Yeah, and Eric, see, that was kind of my goal with this show when I started back in 2017. My thought was that every day I would have this box of emails and I could go in and open up one of these emails and say, okay, on today's show, we're going to talk about an email we got from Esther, who's asking about this, or from Joe. So that's kind of been like where I've been trying to take it. So when I recorded my episode yesterday, it'll play next Friday, I actually got more specific and I said, tell me about a time when budgeting became difficult for you and how you overcame that, and send me a message or leave me a voicemail about that. So I appreciate that feedback.
If you want more email, Ralph, people don't want to be the first. They want to be the next. If you've ever been to a conference and at the end of the speaker, they say, all right, we have mics set up. If anybody has any questions, step up to the mic, and you sit there and nobody. And finally, one brave soul, usually it's Rem. Levictois. Dave and I know Rem. Rem's like the first guy to the mic all the time at Podcast Movement. I love him. As soon as the first person steps up, there's a line of like 27 behind him, because nobody wants to be the first. They want to be the next. The first person sets the tone. The first person demonstrates how to do it. Oh, that's the kind of email Ralph wants. So if you want more email, answer email on your show. It's the chicken and the egg. So what you can do is find questions your clients have asked you, find questions others have emailed you, and you say, and then maybe real quick at the end, you go, today's question comes from Dave. Dave says, what's the best tax software to use? Dave, I recommend QuickBooks. It's quick, it's easy, it does your thing. La, la, la. You can set it up in 30 minutes. You know, get it at my code at AskRalph.com/QuickBooks.
And Eric, I actually started doing that. I went into 11 Labs and I recorded AI voice of someone who sent in an email, one of my clients that wouldn't feel comfortable doing it. So I've been doing a lot more of that. So that's a very good point. So I'm going to start doing more of that.
So once you answer that question, you say, if you have a question this week, I'm looking for questions on X. And then here's where you send here's how you submit that question.
Awesome.
So now people have seen the example and they go, oh, those are the kinds of questions Ralph answers, how they want it packaged, how he wants it phrased, that kind of thing. But overall, I thought the close was solid. One call to action. We didn't have music for the sake of having music. Like I thought it was solid.
Yeah, it was odd. I was waiting for follow me on Twitter and do this and like that and review and, you know, all that other stuff. And I love the fact you always talk to one person. I didn't hear any kind of, hey guys, what's up kind of thing. It was very, you're just talking to that one person on the other side of the desk. So I thought that was good as well. So,
And that's a school of podcasting thing too, Dave. I heard you say one time, pretend like you're having a conversation with a person sitting across from you. So that's kind of the way I've done it. You know, I have clients come in and meet with me face to face. And, the way I'm doing my podcast now is, you know, Eric's sitting in front of me. You know, Eric just asked me a question. So Ralph, can you give me an answer? And I feel like that's going to help me connect more with the listeners.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's switch gears to look at your website, which is AskRalphPodcast.com. And here we go. So this is using PodPage. And the thing I loved is this is the episode, you know, that we just listened to. And the thing I loved about it, I was like, please tell me the list is here. Because I've seen people do that, where they'll do this big old list and you come out and there's just nothing. So this way, if somebody wanted it, it's right here. And, you know, they've got them all here. And you've got even step 5, step 6, step 7. So I thought this was well done. And of course, lots of food there for Google. The one thing I did see on your website is here, and they're up here at the top. You have Apple, Google, which is going away, so I would remove that one, and Castro. I do not see Spotify. Spotify is the number two podcast app, so I would lose Google. If you want to add something, well, Spotify is on Android, and maybe Pocket Casts, or, you know, there's a few out there, but these are, Castro's not even in the 1%. That doesn't mean you have to remove them. I know Elsie Escobar from Libsyn loves Castro, but I'm like, the thing I saw missing was Spotify. I'm like, we got to get that one up there.
And just, you're talking about in the meat of the, like, the show notes.
Well, yeah, these are here because it's under the player, because when I go up here, you have those four, and also on your website, you have a follow button, and it's those four. And I'm like, that is not the four. And you can't, I don't think you can get rid of the RSS feed. There's always that one nerd that wants to listen on, you know, Feedly or something. And I'm like, I need your feed, man.
And so, I actually don't remember putting them there, Dave. That might be a Podpage thing. I'm going to have to get under the hood and see where that came from.
It's in Podpage. There's a setting where you get your links and then you just put them into Podpage. And then I know right now he's working on where you can say, show these four or however many. And then there'll be like a more options button where you can have, you know, Ghana and iHeart and all the other 8 million places you can listen. Because if you add too many, then you kind of get a paralysis by analysis. They can't figure out which button to pick on in some cases, or just looks overwhelming, things like that. But, you know, I thought you did a good job of having some white space in here, so it's just not a wall of text.
The episode page looks great. I love the white space. I love how it's clean. I love the resources on the right, the links to the podcast players, all of the important links you talk about in the episode, and how to get in touch with you. All of it's right here. I love the episode page itself. Yeah.
If we go to the home page, I'm not sure. There are a couple things you kind of, because with Podpage, you can put things that only appear in the footer. And so it just seemed like there are a lot of menu options. And I was like, do we really want all of these?
And I just added two, because I put a store where people can actually go buy my book. People can actually go schedule time with me remotely through Zoom.
Yeah.
I also started doing a blog now as well. So I've been blogging every episode as well. And I guess Eric wouldn't know this. I also have AskRalph.com, which is the website for my accounting firm. And, you know, Dave and I have gone back and forth about, well, why do I have two separate? And it's because my accounting firm site, I actually have a marketing company that draws up, you know, daily content for that, which is more suited towards just the accounting side. And when I was trying to mix the two together, it just wasn't firing the way I liked it to fire. So it's more work for me this way, but I feel like the listeners to the podcast can always find me on the accounting site, but this way it drives them to more content that gets them down to that. And that's a question, I guess, more so, Eric and Dave, like, do you think that's effective?
I don't have an issue with the two different websites, because the podcast doesn't necessarily drive the business, and the business, you want it to be kind of a separate entity. And I'm not sure in terms of legality with accounting, what needs to be on there and that kind of thing. So in your particular case, I don't have an issue with them being separate. Most people, I would recommend putting them together, but because of the nature of accounting, having two separate isn't an issue with me. I'm like Dave, though. When I first got to your website, 13 menus up top where it was a little overload. I didn't even know where to start. It just, you know, if you follow Donald Miller and StoryBrand, you know, people start at the top and they read left to right. And that upper right corner should be exactly what you want them to do when they're on this podcast or on this web page. And then they go in sort of a Z diagonal down and then across the bottom of your above the fold. The one thing I thought that was missing from your homepage was, what is this all about? Like, and I'm not that familiar with Podpage and how it works, but right on the beginning, we jump right into the latest episode. I don't even know what the podcast is about, let alone, you know, I'm coming to Ask Ralph podcast. That could be anything. You know, it could be Ann Landers for all I know.
Well, and Eric, while you're talking about that, I changed my name from Ask Ralph podcast to colon what I do. And I'm still on the fence about whether that's effective or not. Is it too much?
No, it's a little long. And what he means by that is, so when you look at this in Apple, it's the Ask Ralph podcast. how to master your finances, lower your taxes, grow your business, and find personal success. So I just was like, we need something here to let people know this is a finance podcast, because if it's just Ask Ralph podcast, okay, Ask Ralph about what? So I just said, add a tagline. What's the title of your one book? Master Your Finances.
Mastering Your Finances, correct.
Yeah. So
That would be great.
Yeah. Mastering Your Finances. You know, how to master your finances. You could leave it at that, because mastering your finances is lowering your taxes, growing your business, and finding your personal success.
So if we go back over to the web page, is there a way to put that on this homepage somewhere?
Yeah, see, at pod page right now, and you'll have to scroll down, Dave, but I think it puts it all the way down at the bottom, if I remember correctly. And it might be a function of...
It's in the footer. And the one place it's missing is when you go to the about page, you have this thing about Ask Ralph Media. Was like, well, what's that? And then it explains kind of who you are. So I found this, whatever, but I'm like, you need a paragraph here, because I'm on the Ask Ralph podcast site. The first paragraph should be about the Ask Ralph podcast and how they're going to benefit. And then a second paragraph about you. So the first one is like, should I listen to this? And then the second paragraph is, who is this Ralph guy? And that way, but when I saw this, I was kind of like, Ask Ralph Media. And I was like, well, I guess that's, again, maybe going for street cred.
Well, actually, it's more of a liability exposure thing, too, because, you know, I live what I talk about, too. And it's a separate S corporation for this. So, you know, in case there's an issue underneath of that. But I understand what you're saying. But the about needs to start with a paragraph of, okay, what is the Ask Ralph podcast about?
Yeah.
And then who is this guy, Ralph?
Yeah.
So up top there, we have the Ask Ralph podcast in the photo of the header.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where you put Master Your Finances part in there. The Ask Ralph podcast, Master Your Finances. And then to Dave's point earlier, where you've been doing this since you were six, this is the part to put that in. Use my decades of experience. I've been doing this since I was six. Your chance to use my decades of experience to master your finances in business, personal relationships, et cetera. You know, put your cred there and what's in it for me.
Would you put that on the homepage, or would you put that on both the homepage and the about page?
So I would get into depth in the about page with your credibility. On the homepage, I just need something to tell me that you're going to help me master my finances. Somewhere on here that just tells me, you know, understanding my constitutional rights with Roe. Now, all of a sudden, I think, well, maybe this is a legal podcast. Like, is it a political podcast? Like, I don't understand why I'm here yet. I don't know what's brought me here. If I Googled something and it said, oh, you can find that information on the Ask Ralph podcast, and I click and I came to your homepage, I would have no idea what you do. So I don't know how PodPage works. And if there's something on this page right here above the fold, where you can put a headline, that's what I feel is missing from the main page of the
podcast. I think there is a way to change the headline. I just have to play with it and see what I can do.
Yeah, I think there's I forget what, templates or something like that, where you can pick different ones. The other one is at the top here, welcome to the Ask Ralph podcast website. To me, I was like, I don't know, just it's not doing anything. Like,
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, and I was like, I would just either lose it or, you know, put a link there that you want. Click here to sign up for the newsletter or something. But it is, it's as Eric proved my point, most people probably don't see that. But I was like, meh.
You can make that font bigger, that might be a place to put the Ask Ralph podcast Mastering Your Finances up there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
If you can make it as big as the Understanding Your Constitutional Rights font, where it stands out.
Gotcha.
And then the other thing is, when I scroll down, you have a lot of featured episodes, and in the process of doing that, it's made them all tall and skinny,
right?
Which means I really have to scroll down. Like, at this point, they're taking up the whole page. And then finally you get down to the actual episodes and your newsletter, which is probably what we're trying to focus on. I would be tempted to, you know, scale this down a bit. So maybe it's two or three. Mm-hmm. If I go to, I think my website has, or maybe again, this might be, depending on the design you have or whatever.
Yeah, you can pick how many featured episodes you want to show.
Because I'm doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Shame on me. It just doesn't seem like they're as long. Maybe that's...
Well, it must work, Dave.
It just seems like yours are longer. Maybe you have longer explanations where to go.
That could be, yeah.
But, you know, and from here, it's we're back to the typical kind of pod page. I would, again, we need to add Spotify to that. I like the fact it does this where you have them breaking, they're broken down by your categories. Mm-hmm. So this way, if somebody really likes Wacky Wednesday, here's a bunch of them. And then there's even a see all button. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Do you find value in the blogging? Because I just started doing that for every episode now to sort of add more content in the blog feature.
Well, so are you blogging about the episode?
Yes.
Why not just add that to the episode?
Well, I did some research and I was told that as far as SEO goes, it actually gives you some redundancy that will drive traffic. Because if you notice, and I've kind of become a wizard on PodPage, they score each of these things from an SEO perspective.
Right.
And from what I understand, it gives you two more, it gives you two directions to the same thing, basically. So like the constitutional one, I renamed it for the blog, but it's very similar content, but it's not exactly the same.
I would just measure the results.
Yeah.
I would do it for 6 months mm-hmm. and compare these 6 months to the previous 6 months and see if you have any fluctuation.
Very good.
Yeah. I know on my website, if I don't write a blog post, my traffic goes down. So I know it definitely is handy for that in terms of driving traffic, but it's usually it's just an article on something. So, and then I usually just really expand my episode description on my website to be basically a blog post with a player on it. So, but yeah, I'm with Eric, you know, check and see what happens. And if it works, keep doing it. If not, you know, don't. The other thing I thought was interesting is you have sponsors here, and yet we didn't hear about them on the show.
And let me address that, okay? Because when I first got back into doing the podcast again, I was really, and both of the sponsors are me, to be blunt. It's my farm, and it's my accounting practice. And I got some feedback from somebody. They said, oh, man, all you're doing is trying to sell me stuff on your podcast. And I said, well, that is really not my goal. So one of the things I'm doing now is I'm working with my small business clients and I'm starting an affiliate program where basically I'm going to mention them during the podcast. I'll give you an example. You know, Joe's Painting. I'm going to say, you know, one of our sponsors today is Joe's Painting. You can go to our website at our sponsor page, you know, askgraphpodcast.sponsors. And Joe's Painting is offering a special deal for all the Ask Graph listeners. So I'm going to start adding that in a rotation on the podcast itself to point people here.
Got it.
But I was doing sort of a commercial for my accounting practice. I was doing a commercial for the farm and I don't remember who it was. Somebody said, okay, I've listened to the first 3 minutes of your podcast and all I've heard now is a commercial about why we should spend money with you, but you haven't told me anything.
Well, that's a point. Like on my show, I just mentioned if you use the coupon code listener, you'll save. And then I get to the content. So that's like a 10-second you know, plug.
And I think that's what I'm going to do with this idea that I have for affiliates, because it's a way for me to build my practice too, because I can say to Joe's Painting, look, it's not going to cost you a dime. You just give me a coupon that I can use. You know, maybe you throw a couple dollars back to me whenever I recommend you, but it's a way for that business to grow, you know, their publicity without costing them anything.
You're always going to have people that complain. You know, when I was on the radio, I would always tell my jocks, one phone call doesn't mean everybody. That means one person. And so, you know, I'd have my talent would come in and go, oh, everybody hates this song we're playing. And I go, why do you say that? Well, I'm getting all sorts of phone calls. People hate it. How many phone calls did you get? Two. I go, how many phone lines do we have in the studio? Five. I go, okay, so all we know is two people don't like the song. We don't know about the other 70,000 that are listening. So keep playing the song. And we'll just keep going with it. So all you know is that one person, it's like the guy that gave me the review that says, all he does is talk about 30 years in radio. Well, I know I don't. I serve a lot of people and yeah. I can't let one bad apple derail me. Regarding the podcast website, one thing I love is that you actually offer me some value for signing up for the newsletter. So many websites just say, sign up for my newsletter. And nobody wakes up in the morning wishing they had another newsletter in their inbox. Like, and you offer a $25 Amazon gift card drawing for everybody that gets in the newsletter there.
Right.
So on the right, you say, join our email list to be entered into our weekly drawing for a $25 Amazon gift card. Fantastic. Love that. I might add a little bit in there what you share in the email. Maybe it's a smaller paragraph underneath that that says, each week I email you tips and tricks to live your financial freedom or whatever it is that you do.
Yeah, I haven't really done anything with it besides send them a daily email letting them know that the newest episode has dropped and here's what we're talking about on today's episode. I've been using MailChimp to do that.
Yeah, give them some value in that email, maybe a tip or a trick or tactic that you talk about in that episode. Share that in there. And you get many more like this on the episode. Go listen.
Perfect.
So I love that. The one thing about the website, I'm a visual kind of guy. I hate reading. And on this page right here, there's a lot of you. And it's,
yeah, I know. It's almost like too much. It's my face.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm walking down through a New York City, you know, subway terminal where there's like a million billboards.
Right. They put all the same plastered poster on. Right.
Right.
And so I'm like, man, I got to read every headline to figure out which one I want to listen to because none of them attract my eye visually because it's all the same photo of you. So I don't know if there's a way for you to quickly create podcast specific artwork and add that to it. Maybe use Canva or something like that. Even if it's a graphic or something that just shows me like, you know, take one of these, for instance.
I'm actually doing that on the blog post, Dave, if you want to scroll down to that, because that's exactly what I've been doing on the blog. Is exactly what Eric's talking about.
Right. Oh, you missed
it. Right there in the middle. You just,
It is. Yep. Yeah. Like this right here. Cause these, there's two old people there. Let me go to that one. What's that about? And so these are going to attract my eye visually and say, oh, there's one with the American flag. What's that about? Understanding my constitutional rights. Perfect. That's what I'm interested in that. So these will attract me visually where your podcast entries are all your face.
You're right.
Now I got to read every single headline to figure out which episode I want to listen to.
And plus, since I have a face for radio, that's probably not that appealing, right?
The other thing is, was it here? No. Your store? Some of these have different Ralphs. And I was like, oh, he does have more than one picture.
I do, absolutely.
So you could take, are these AI, by the way?
They are AI.
Yeah, so you could, if you could make this and just put Ask Ralph on it, you know.
I have 200 different ones. I joined this group where you can go and you send 12 pictures and they send you 200 AIs back with all kinds of different poses and all that. It's really great technology. Now, some of them are terrible, but for the most part, I was really kind of pleased with them.
Yeah, but you could easily take this in Canva and take the background and put the new one in and it's the same thing. It just would break up the, you know, not that, you know, you got dimples. My heavens, who doesn't love dimples?
So all Ralph all the time gets a little.
Yeah.
But from a practical standpoint, you're not saying to change the cover art for each episode that's released. Well, you're thinking over here in Podpage. I think they have a thing where you can change the media for that particular episode. So I could do that. That would be easy to do, I think.
Yeah.
And if you keep the branding for the podcast and the podcast artwork static, don't change that. Just change the episodic artwork.
Eric, what do you think about removing the picture altogether? Or is that still too much reading?
No, yeah, it's still text. I still have to read.
You like the blog idea, I think, is what you're telling me, is that the idea of the blog really works good. Okay, then that's what I'll do. That's easy.
Now, see, the blog entry is only 3 wide. I don't know why the podcast is 5 wide.
I think that's just a site setting. I can probably go in there and fix that.
Yeah, see, these are nice and short and they're wide. They're not towering like your podcast episodes are, like they mentioned earlier. So
I had to talk to Brendan about that at Podpage because maybe that's a setting that I'm overlooking or something.
Yeah, could be. But I like the blog posts because I don't feel like I have to read as much.
Got it. And the other thing I want to ask about is your resources page, which has one.
Yeah. So that's kind of an interesting thing because I was doing a podcast. I don't remember which one. I can't see it. I'm looking through my prompter, so I don't see the actual, but I didn't know where to put something. I know what it was. It's a cybersecurity checklist. And I didn't know exactly where to put it in Podpage because I couldn't figure out where to put it. So I said, you know what? I'm just going to create another page. I call it resources. And if people need to find something, I can drop it here. So that's just maybe my own laziness of not trying to figure out where to find a place to put it.
Well, this would be something that I would just put down in the footer. You can go into Podpage, and when you make a page, it goes, where do you want this to show up?
Okay.
And you can say top header, bottom header, or both. Got it. I would put that one at the bottom just to help kind of.
So you're thinking keep the top header at maybe 3 or 4, maybe 5 at the most menu items, and then push everything else down to the bottom.
Yeah. And in some of these, you've got rate a show and reviews. And my guess is, if I look at reviews, does it not get? Yeah, there's a rate button right there. So do we really need?
No, that's a good point.
Yeah, a rate button. You know, so, but all in all, that was my only thing. I was like, wow, that's a lot of options to pick from.
Yeah, the truth is Podpage is a great resource for people who don't have a lot of time to do a lot of coding themselves.
Yeah.
So I definitely think it's a great program. So I've really benefited from it, I feel like. And it sounds like you guys both feel like it really gives a good demonstration. We had some things to tweak, but really is a good representation of the podcast.
Yeah, it gives you a lot of options. You just don't need to use all of them.
Yeah.
That's my techno nerd coming out, Eric. That's it. You know, that's my techno nerd. Yeah, that's what that is.
Kicks in. And all of a sudden, we're doing everything.
Yeah.
But overall, I liked it. I thought the page was great. Got me where I needed to go. Got me the information I needed. Very resourceful.
Yeah. And then, like Eric was saying, if you give them a specific question, they can give you a specific answer. And you could even say, you know, click the microphone at the bottom of the page, and you could leave a message that way, too. So, Eric, any final thoughts here as we start to wrap up?
No, I loved it. Ralph, I think you got a great show. I love the energy and the passion that you have for the topic. I love the pace and the tempo and the energy in the show. Just a few tweaks here and there and just make it even stronger than it already is. Nice work.
Thank you, Eric. So can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
So I was going to ask you two guys, like, is this a podcast you would listen to yourselves? Like, is there something that I can do to appeal to, you know, people who are, you know, superior podcast people? Like, is there a couple of things I could do to really turn it up, you know, or is this something, you know, I really found value in this, Ralph. This is something I could see myself putting into my rotation.
I definitely think I could listen to it for the benefit of my business because I like that it's, you know, short and easy to consume. I love that it gives me tactical advice that I can put into play in my business. I'd like a little more story in there, a little more of you, yeah. Learn a little bit about you. I had no idea you owned a farm. Like, that would be pretty cool to, you know, just a mention. I don't need to tell me the whole life history of how you got into farming, but the fact that you own a farm is pretty awesome. Like, if I can learn little nuggets of you like that, that endears me to you and we foster that relationship.
Very good. Thank you for all your feedback, Eric. I truly appreciate it. I feel like I read a book one time said, as a complaint is a gift. And I'm not saying you were giving me complaints, but you were certainly giving me plenty of gifts. So thank you.
That's my goal. Help you find the things that we don't see because we're too close to the show to realize it. You know, and it's like when we talk about your voice going up, you're like, oh yeah, I just need to remind myself to breathe every now and then. You know, that'd be a good thing.
On the floor, my wife will come over to the office because I have my office here at the farm. She'll come to the office like, where's Ralph? He passed out from doing his podcast this morning.
Well, the other thing I wanted to bring up that I just remembered is, you know, you have the Christian standpoint here. Have you thought of ever really leaning hard into that and like Ask Ralph podcast, you know, a Christian viewpoint on mastering your finances?
And I'm doing that actually, Dave. And that's okay. My second book. Is the the gospel entrepreneurship, you know, walking with Jesus in your business. And so to be honest with you, when you asked me at the beginning of this show, like, what is my thought process? That is exactly where I'm trying to go, Dave. I did a YouTube short the other day, and I said, you don't have to check your Christianity at the door when you're in business. You don't have to do that. So one of the focuses of my life, and that's why I say it's a mission for me, is to try to show both individuals and small business people that you can live out your faith in your finances. You know, you can live out your faith in your business. You don't have to check it at the door. You don't have to go woke. And I don't want to get into a political discussion, but you don't have to do that. And so that encapsulates my goal. So maybe the Ask Ralph, you know, colon goes down that road, you know, master your finances in a Christian way. I don't want to just pigeonhole it per se, but maybe that is the whole point that you and Eric talked about, is how to narrow your focus of your audience down. Because the truth is, if you don't think the same way I think from a Christian perspective, I might offend you actually, because right. I end my each one with God bless you. God bless you abundantly. I do a Sunday Christian talk where I talk about the Bible and how that impacts your finances. So that's a very good point, Dave. So thank you.
So if you're attracting the Christian audience, that's the person that's going to go like, wow, a Sunday thing too? Like, this really was made for me. So, you know, and then you could be the Christian accountant guy.
Yeah, because it's interesting. One of the things that I got a lot of feedback about, and I'm not picking on Dave Ramsey.
Yeah.
But one of the things that people said to me is Dave Ramsey's very condescending. And when I listen to him, I don't feel good about myself. You know, he's always picking on what I did wrong. And that's not what I want to be. I want to be the person that figures out, okay, yeah, we've all made mistakes. We've all got ourselves in trouble. We've all charged up our credit cards. We've all got things that we're not happy about, but there is a way to fix that. And there's a reason to fix it. And a lot of that comes down to your core character and your principles. And if you're a Christian, that's a way to really take off and say, you know what? I'm going to live my Christianity because the Bible says I need to be a good steward. The Bible says I need to give back to people. So I 100% agree with you, Dave. And that is huge for me. So thank you. I think that's kind of, you asked me what would make me feel successful. That makes me feel successful.
Yeah. Excellent. All right. Well, you can find Ralph at AskRalphPodcast.com. Before I do that, Ralph, did you have any other questions?
No, sir. I appreciate what both of you are doing. You are definitely helping podcasters. And, you know, sometimes I think as podcasters, we're out on this island by ourselves. So I'm going to definitely say that, you know, I was nervous about going on this show and saying, you know, I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to put my podcast out there because I was just cringing. Like, what are they going to say to me? You know, at the beginning, you said, you know, you want to take a polishing cloth to it, you know, and am I willing to accept that? But the truth of the matter is, just like that fear episode I did, if you don't put yourself out there and surround yourself with people who are more knowledgeable about things like this, then you're losing out. So no, that's the only thing I would say is thank you guys. I appreciate everything that Dave's done with the School of Podcasting. Eric, I appreciate all your comments today. I will definitely use them. And just the feeling of, you know, the positivity that I felt today is just awesome. So thank you guys.
All right. Well, you can find him at AskRalphPodcast.com. You can find me at SchoolOfPodcasting.com. Eric, where are we sending people?
Bring people over to PodcastTalentCoach.com anytime. I'd love to see you there.
And if you want to, Ralph's got the seat warmed up. We still haven't made anybody cry yet, but there's always a first. So if you'd like to take that chance, come on over to podcastreviewshow.com because there's no line, no waiting, and we would love to help you out. And we'll see you again real soon with another episode of the Podcast Review Show.
This podcast is part of the Power of Podcasting Network. Find it at powerofpodcasting.com. Changing the world, one download at a time.
Hey, it's Dave. Thanks for sticking around here. Again, this is not the norm, but we've kind of got a time-sensitive issue here because this webinar is March 21st about book launch secrets. It's myself and Thomas Umstadt, and then he's going to talk about this course, and it's going to basically go over everything you need to know about launching your book, and you'll learn proven principles and methods to help your next book or get your first book off the ground like a rocket. Thomas, the same way that I live and breathe podcasting, Thomas lives and breathes books. And then what's beautiful about it is his kind of mentor, James L. Rubart, it's kind of like getting Han Solo and Yoda at the same time. And the reason I think this is so important is this is the last time they're teaching this course. Now, the webinar you're signing up for, absolutely free, and you're going to walk away with a lot of great ideas and an offer. We're not going to lie to you. They're going to talk to you and ask you to take this course. But there's so much value in just the free webinar. I wanted to let you know that it's going on and it's happening very, very soon, March 21st. Look at the calendar. Yeah, that's like, holy cow, it's coming right up. All you have to do is go to schoolofpodcasting.com/book launch. That's schoolofpodcasting.com/book launch. I can't wait to see you there.